Well, it's becoming like a tradition right now. The revolution, of course, began 7 years ago about the same time of the year on December 17th and spread to the rest of the country and especially to the capital during the first 2 weeks of January. So this time of the year is kind of also is the time of the year where the new budget for the country is implemented or passed by the parliament and the government. So for 7 years, it has been coming again and again with more austerities, with more rising prices, with more, you know, measures that are not very suitable to the common average citizen in the country. And in the past few days, it has followed an augmentation of the prices of oil, the prices of, you know, basic supplies, food supplies in the country. So I think this is the direct reason motivating people to protest again this time of the year.
And you said this is a kind of a tradition since 7 years in this time of year to go on the streets and protests, also because of the revolution which happened 7 years ago, the Arabic Spring, and Tunisia did change through the Arabic Spring much more than other countries did. And President Ben Ali got overthrown and the country changed into a democracy, as far as this is how it's here read. So what's left of the Arabic Spring and how is maybe this related to the protests now?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's related directly to the Arab Spring, because the common Tunisian citizen is maybe not really affected with what's happening in the region, but what people see directly is the expenses of life. The daily life expenses in Tunisia and the country has been rising unstoppable for years. The economic issues has been the primary motivation behind these protests. And I would add to that, from my own personal point of view, is that the government attitude in the country has been contributing to the fueling and to the maybe to the violence that is happening sometimes in the country, because it's never perceived as a reaction, a natural reaction or an anger from the citizens who are feeling deprived, who are feeling neglected by the new political class that came after the overthrow of Ben Ali in Tunisia, that is not putting as a priority for itself to better the economic situation for the country, but it is the debate has been always political freedoms and political stability. Political stability, of course, is good, it's nice, but it doesn't have a direct and immediate echo on the living standards, on the living quality in the country. So citizens are frustrated with all these talks, empty talks that lead to no direct development of the situation. And this is basically the reason why the protests keep coming and going, not once a year, but so frequently and so often during the years, and especially by this time of the year.
And who is there on the street? What kind of people are protesting now? Because it sounds that many people are affected by the rising costs of living. And so I guess there should go a lot of families on the street and maybe older people. But as far as I read, there are a lot of young people, angry people on the street. So who's the face of the protests right now?
Well, I would say that the face of the protest, or any protest in the world or in history, is always young people, because young people are the ones directly impacted with the situation. Older generations have lived in different times where they haven't been allowed to protest. They don't know what the meaning of protesting is, and necessarily they don't know that protesting means that you are unhappy with the situation. For them, protesting, for most older generations, protesting is dangerous, because that means that you are against the regime, against the system, against the government, and you should not be allowed to do it. So you may find actually older people in the streets who are in very deep, bad situation, who are unhappy with the protests as well, because they think that the protests are the reason why the economy is in a bad shape, while it's actually the opposite. People who are protesting the economy that is going down. And usually those protesters are students of university, even students from high schools and younger are joining the protests today. Leaning towards violence, that is the question, whether it's something that is affecting the protests or that is something that protesters find as a solution to bring attention to their cause. Because basically, there are, even the time of the revolution here in Tunisia that was described as the most peaceful in the region during the Arab Spring, it wasn't 100% peaceful. But let me say that even when it's not peaceful, attacking buildings or attacking symbols is symbolic. Attacking or looting is the last resort, or the out of despair people would lean towards doing that because they don't have other alternatives. When they see the government wasting thousands and millions of dollars every year on trivial projects, on celebrations, on sports activity, while people cannot find basic, you know, ingredients of life, they cannot find food. This is some sort of motivation, fueling this feeling of despair that pushes people sometimes towards desperate measures such as violence, looting, etc.
And you already explained why there are violent protests, that the young people, the students, are violent against buildings as one form of protests. Now the news agencies, they report that hundreds of people, of protesters, got arrested the last days. Some demonstrants also got hurt, also some policemen. Even one demonstrant died during the protest. So how does the Tunisian regime react to the protest right now?
I think the Tunisian regime, the Tunisian government, is repeating the mistakes of the previous regime that we got rid of following the revolution. They are incriminating the protesters. They are focused on the situation of the way the protesters are expressing their anger and their disaccord with the government's plans. They are not focused on the reasons why would these people leave their homes in the nights of December and January and protest. Why would a student or a kid who is in an age of high school or university age is actually fighting with the police in the streets instead of going to school? Because we don't have that offer. We are not offering an alternative to these people. We are actually depriving them from better living chances by allocating huge percentages of the government's capital, of the government's, you know, money, towards sectors that are not profitable, towards fields of business that are not directly benefiting the country, benefiting the Tunisian citizens. And this creates a whole feeling of deprivation, and the young people wouldn't have a better way to express that other than to turn violent, of course.
And in the Tunisian newspaper, Le Temps, they wrote that the labor unions are concerned about the aggressive protests and the plunder of businesses these days. They called the people to go to the commune election soon if they want to change something. So what's the role of the labor unions in such a protest?
It's really interesting to study the change or the switch of positions the labor union has been taking from the protests and from the social movements in Tunisia over the past 10 years. And during the year 2010-2011, the labor union, the major labor union, UGTT, has been a key role, has had a key role in mobilizing the country, mobilizing the laborers and mobilizing even students to rise against the regime of Ben Ali, which had maybe similar kind of political agenda as the governments that came after the revolution. Following the latest elections, the legislative and presidential elections, the leadership of the labor union has changed. The composition of the labor union is kind of not very homogeneous anymore. And it has been taking very different, very interesting positions from the latest developments in the country and the latest measures taken by the government. So it has been approving more and more, other than disapproving that used to be the case before. And now they are even condemning the violence or the protest. I mean, I don't necessarily, I would say that the labor union should take a position from the motivations, from the reasons of the protests, but not from the manifestations of the protests or from how the protests are being conducted. It's in other ways, the labor union is adapting the narrative of the government, that is condemning and incriminating the social movements and only focusing on the violence that is occurring in not everywhere, not in all the protests, but focusing on only that means that the labor union is kind of moving away from its basis, from its supporters, or from the people who are supposed to be supported or looked after by the labor union, and now adapting more and more the government's agenda.
And as you said, that those protests right now, they happen every year. So what do you think? What will happen in the next days? And what's the chance of this protest right now? Is the character somehow different to the other protests? What can we expect? What will happen soon?
Well, in my opinion, or what I have been suggesting to people who are leading these protests and behind this movement, is that this protest has been abolished. It has been betrayed by most of civil society organizations, by syndicates and labor unions. They are adapting the narrative of the government. They are encouraging the police to hit hard against protesters, against looters. Actually, they don't even call them protesters. No one is focused on the reasons why these people are protesting. So I guess that this whole movement should be postponed, should be frozen for now. The strategy of doing this should be revised, because it's not going to lead to the objectives that are drawn for it. It's a losing case at this moment, while the government is studying the possibilities for enforcing curfew, for arresting everyone who is protesting in this kind of movement. The common citizens who usually take the bite and they follow the government's, you know, propaganda in a way that incriminate the protesters, the peaceful, whether the peaceful or non-peaceful protesters. I see that this is not going anywhere good. This will only lead to more securitarian measures. The government might study the possibility for curfew, for more emergency situation measures, but they wouldn't actually deal with the reasons of this, the roots of this movement. By that I mean the austerity measures and the augmentation of prices.
Mm-hmm. And when we look to Iran and the protests there, they got organized through social media, and the people, they informed themselves through social media. So it seemed like first there was social media and then there was the protests on the street. So what kind of effect or maybe chance is there in, again, social media also for Tunisia, that when you say they should frozen the protests now, so maybe there's then some time to get more people involved through other platforms than the street and some violent on the street.
Yes, I absolutely believe right now in the necessity of organizing or reorganizing and freezing the outdoors protests and the movement in the streets, because it's not really paying off. It's not really convincing anyone. And it will only lead to more divide between Tunisians themselves, because now every side, political side, is accusing the other of mobilizing looters and of mobilizing violent, you know, extremists to be part of this protests and attacking government buildings and attacking police, etc. So I believe that there should be an alternative to what's happening right now, which may not necessarily be coming out of social media, because even social media has switched its role in the country after the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring was had a surprise effect, because social media has never been used in a political role before. So now it has a different meaning in the country. It's also a way to spread chaos and spread misinformation. So I think what we are now looking for is a new kind of a tool, a new kind of platform to inform and to correct the misinformation that is both conducted by protesters and the government and political class as well.
Is there already such a platform existing, or does it need to get created?
Well, there has been an attempt, the alternative, kind of youth movements that are non-partisan, not necessarily following a certain political ideology or political movement. We had one attempt that started 2 years ago, and that was during the protests against the reconciliation law that granted corrupt people under the regime of Ben Ali, granted them amnesty over what they have done, over so many financial and criminal crimes they have conducted against the Tunisia and the Tunisian people. So this attempt, this movement or this campaign is called I Will Not Forgive, and it has been ongoing for 2 years, and it's partially now part of this movement of protests against the current budget, and it has lots of potential to succeed and to be an alternative of the failures of political scene, but it has also to do a lot of change over the kind of tools and over the kind of practices that has been doing in the recent times.